You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
Here we go. Hey, what's up, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. What is going on?
You would have thought.
You thought that I wasn't going to do it.
Come on.
Of course I did. Let's go. Here we go. We're back. Let's go, man.
Yeah, a little week off.
Let's go. Back. We had a week off, but man, I'm excited for today. Today I'm going to talk about something that's been very prevalent. Just in our culture and what I've been hearing from some youth pastors and something that I've experienced myself, I'm going to talk about how to navigate parental conflict. I'm not going to talk about this. I'm talking about this from students being able to handle parental conflict. I'll get into details more on what I'm talking about later. But yeah, it will be great. Anyways, it is now time to
rate that energy drink.
Here we go. I almost forgot it again. I didn't remember what it was.
That was a crispy one. So I went to Target. If you remember, if you're a faithful Rate That supporter and follower, we talked about
scrubs.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. We talked about
just kidding.
A monster that was blue raspberry flavored. I went to Target. I thought I had the right one. It wasn't the right one.
Meow.
I got this one as well, just because it was different. And I was like, hey, why not? So this is Alani Hawaiian Shaved Ice
I've
Energy.
Heard about this.
Have you?
Someone told me about this.
What about it?
Who told me? They either told me it was really good or really bad.
I have an open mind, but I feel like it's going to be pretty bad.
Why?
Look at it.
Yeah, it looks terrible. The marketing is not good. If you're watching this, like Alani, this does not tell me I'm going to be excited to drink this.
This doesn't tell me like, oh, I'm going to be ready
you know
to go
what would
after
be really
this.
Good huh? If they had like, what if they did like marketing idea? Hear me out, guys. What if it was like an all blue can with like yellow lightning? That'd be kind of sick.
Yeah.
Yellow lightning. And then like.
What is this?
It's supposed to be shaved ice.
No. These little symbols. It looks like a backwards Z, a C and a Z.
Like, did a toddler come into the room
what
and just,
that?
Like, start writing stuff down?
Yeah, that's
like,
bad.
Imagine zero sugar. Okay. Alaninu.com. But the drink is called Alani? Like, there's a lot of problems here.
Oh, it's an N and a U. Alaninu. See, confusing. We just think you could do better.
My toddler might be able to do about the same that
your
I
toddler?
Don't have.
Oh. Thought you had some
got
moves.
It. Ooh.
No splash. Good job. Oh, boy.
No.
It just smells very fake sugar. Oh, it's pink. That's fun.
I don't think it smells like fake sugar.
What do you think it
smells I think
like?
It smells like that gross smell in Robex when you go to get a Robex smoothie.
I haven't had Robex in a little while.
I had just had it for the first time in like a year maybe the other day.
It kind of just smells like...
I'm not a fan.
It smells like water with like a little bit of flavoring in it. It kind of smells like shaved ice, I think.
Wah, wah.
I mean, we haven't even tried it yet.
Wah, wah. Okay. I'll go easy. It tastes like a sweaty ape's rear end.
That's ridiculous.
This is...
Where did you even pull that from?
It had to be something wild. This tastes like aloe.
Aloe?
Oh my gosh, this is so bad.
I think it tastes like strawberry.
No.
What is that?
I don't know. You guys should... I think that... My personal opinion. My personal opinion, land of the free, home of the brave. I would just like honestly sell your company for whatever it's worth because it ain't going anywhere unless you make some serious improvements.
Can you look up the net worth or whatever? What is that? I don't know.
I mean, hopefully they sell other things and this like isn't Alana their main knew. Thing.
I really don't like the... I got to figure this out because I definitely don't think that it tastes like a...
Dude, their network monkey. Worth is $3 billion. They got to sell something
Where's
else.
Where's it from? I have to figure out what I
Dude, think. Do people like this? Is it just a flavor?
Maybe.
Oh, time out. Apparently Kim Kardashian is somehow involved in this. That's why it's doing well.
Right.
This is not good, guys. Katie Hearn.
I don't think it's... I really don't think it's terrible.
I want to see, like, what, like... like.
It's, like, smooth, though.
I don't
like
it.
It doesn't really taste... right. The mouthfeel isn't very right.
Okay. So they're like more than just like an energy drink company.
They have subs?
I think they have, yeah, pre-workout and stuff.
I won't be partaking.
Why do I feel like this is like a feminine like thing? Like it's not really like... the advertising looks very feminine. It looks like...
It looks like it's trying to cater to the Celsius crowd.
Yeah, it's trying to cater to the Celsius crowd, except Celsius has some masculine appeal. This has no masculine appeal. This right here is the Hawaiian Shaved Ice. It's probably one of its more popular flavors, if that's what's being featured on the website.
I really don't think... that the flavor is
stop
horrible. I don't like it tastes. I'm trying to find it.
I think they have. I think they have an ape that they keep on like in like the area, and they like have it run on a treadmill, and then they like take like a little taste, and then they try and mimic that flavor.
I doubt it. I mean,
feels like a stretch.
Bit of a stretch. It is vegan.
Yeah, I'm just not enjoying this. This is really
bad.
Is
there a drink that's not vegan?
Dude, I saw this video today that got my rear end so good. So I saw this guy who like is really good at like he like makes like products healthy that advertising wise. And he was like, in case you didn't hear the news, like Reese's high protein, like just came out, like it's like a real like health thing. And like, he started talking about how it's like vegan, how like all this stuff, it has 10 grams of protein and like 4 grams of fat per serving type of thing. And all this stuff. And then he goes, the only thing is it's a little high on the calories, about 200 for 10, but still it's Reese's. It's awesome. Like whatever. And then he goes, and he had like the whole packaging for it. And then he goes, so if you haven't caught on yet, this is just the Reese's Big Cup that I just rebranded to be healthy.
The Reese's Big Cup has 10 grams of protein?
Yeah, I think so. Let me see. Reese's
Big Cup. It has to have a ton of fat.
Macros.
It has to have a ton of fat.
It has 201 calories.
This is starting to not feel well in my
tum-tum. It only has 4. Wait. Did he lie?
Maybe he doubled it.
I have no idea what he did, but whatever he did freaked me out because it went to show me that you can broadcast anything. This is really bad. We haven't even rated this. Okay, ready? I'm gonna go ahead. We'll rate it at the same time.
Okay.
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 What was last week's drink again?
It was bad. I don't remember. It was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think I gave it a 2.
Do you remember what it was?
No.
I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember what it was.
Oh, it was a C4. It was a C4. The Skittles.
Oh, I gave it like a 2.
The Skittles
C4. Okay. All right, I know what this is in comparison to that. Ready? 3, 2, 1, 0.
3.5.
0.
3.5.
It is so bad. It is not drinkable.
Are you serious?
Yes. It's undrinkable.
Take another sip.
I took three. I'll take another one. Ready? Yeah, it smells bad and doesn't taste good. I'm all set. Zero. Zero. Won't even finish this. It's numbing my tongue.
It's gluten-free.
It's numbing my tongue when I take a sip of it. Why is that
It
happening?
Does have a weird mouthfeel. It has a weird mouthfeel. It's not very carbonated. It feels weird in my stomach.
It doesn't taste good.
I think it tastes at least decent.
Oh, my tongue does not feel right now. Pray for me.
I'm going to give it a 3 because the marketing's really bad.
Yeah, nothing about this is good. I don't like anything.
You're kind of right.
I am. What is good? Did you enjoy anything?
I don't think the flavor is horrible, but besides that, nothing else about it is good. I'll give it a 2.
Okay. I lowered them, guys. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning into this very long Rate That, and hope you enjoyed it. See you for the Bible teaching. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Uncancelled Podcast. I'm really happy that you guys are with us today. I'm not centered right now if you're watching this on YouTube, and it's by my own choice because I didn't want to move after the Rate That. Normally, I move to the middle, but I didn't want to move today, so I'm a little off to the side. My mic was in a really good place, and I just wanted to stay here, so I'm here. Anyway, I want to talk to you about how to navigate parental conflict. Unfortunately, there have been a lot of situations lately where I've heard about parents not wanting their kids to come to church and parents promoting for their kids to prioritize sports and academics over church. I've also heard about parental conflict where not only do they want them to prioritize sports and academics or whatever it might be over church, but they don't want them to come to church at all. I had a student recently. She's a really nice girl. She got saved recently and her mother told her that she couldn't come back anymore because she had saw a lot of videos about mega churches and they brainwash people and it's a cult. She doesn't want her daughter to be brainwashed and stuff. And so that's a really difficult situation to navigate. And so I wanted to kind of take a second and talk about navigating these parental situations from the Bible and kind of how should we handle it. There's a lot of things that are to be considered in these case scenarios. First and foremost, unfortunately, it has been used as a form of spiritual manipulation to tell people to obey your parents no matter what. And there are two ways that we can go with this. We can go to one extreme and say, never obey your parents. You know, you don't ever have to do what your parents have to say. You do whatever you feel God telling you to say. And then we can go to the other extreme and say, do whatever your parents have to say, regardless of what God is telling you to say, telling you to do. And I think that there is a middle ground in between these two things. And I want to help students that are facing these situations. My heart goes out to students who are in tough family situations where maybe mom doesn't want you to go to church or dad doesn't want you to go to church or both your parents don't want you to go to church. Or maybe your parents do go to church, but they have some different views of things that are not in line with the Bible. And so I want to kind of dive into that. I heard a really sad story today that kind of provoked me to talk about this. There was a pastor I was meeting with today who told me that many years ago, he had a student that felt the call of God to go to Bible school. And the parent was against him going to Bible school. And he said that he was going to go anyway because God had called him to go to Bible school. So he went off to Bible school in, I won't say where, but he went off to Bible school somewhere. And the parents, they basically disowned him and said, you know, we don't want anything to do with you anymore if you're going to go to Bible school, which is really sad. But he still followed the call of God, even though the parents were against him going to Bible school. The parents eventually called the pastor of the church and told the pastor that they would rather their son be found with a heroin needle in his arm underneath a bridge than at Bible school. They'd rather their son, hear that. They'd rather their child under a bridge with a heroin needle in their arm, overdosed, than they would rather find their son in Bible college. I don't even know how to respond to that, to be honest with you. Well, I guess that's what this podcast is about. But seriously, it is so sad to hear that that is the state of parents in this generation right now. And before I continue, let me just say there's a lot of good parents out there. And I'm not by any means trying to riot kids against their parents. In fact, the goal of this podcast is actually to aim for peace within the household. That's actually the goal of this podcast. So by no means, I don't know if a parent will ever watch this or something. And, you know, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to turn your kid against you. And students, I'm not trying to turn you against your parents. But there are plenty of good parents out there. I have a youth leader. Her name is Anna Darius. She's an excellent youth leader, an excellent parent that prioritizes the house of the Lord. And her husband serve in the Spanish ministry here at Faith Church. And they just do an excellent job raising their kids in the church. And so there are plenty of great parents out there too. But I want to help navigate family conflict. Let's start here. Maybe I'll call this how to navigate familial conflict, because this could go, you know, maybe, well, I don't know. I guess it's the same thing. Anyway, regardless, we're talking about family parent conflict. Let's get into it. Let's start here. It is God's desire that families be saved. It is God's desire that families be saved. God does not just want you, and I'm speaking to students right now. God doesn't want just you to be saved. God wants your family to be saved. Very straightforward. It is the will of God that all men be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that everyone come to repentance. Go to Acts chapter 10, verse 34, though. I want to show you God's desire for all men to be saved, and God's desire specifically for families to be saved. God doesn't just want you to be saved. God wants your mom to be saved, your dad to be saved, and your siblings to be saved. Go to Acts chapter 16. Beginning in verse 25. What's happening here is that Paul and Silas, they are in a prison, and they had just praised God, and God broke off all their chains and God freed them from the prison. But they didn't leave the jail cell. All the prison doors came open, but they didn't leave the jail cell. And here's what happens in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 25. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Why did he do this? Because if a jailer allowed the prisoners to escape, he would be put to death. So he figured, I might as well just put myself to death now so that I don't have to die a more painful death and embarrassing death. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and unto all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. God's desire is for household salvation. God's desire, it actually is perfectly illustrated here, is that the man gets right with God, and then the entire household gets right with God with him, and then the man leads the family in being a godly household. That is the desire and the will of God, is that everyone's household is saved. God, notice how Paul said, he said, you believe and you and your whole family will be saved. Why? Because the man is the leader of the family, and the man is called to lead the way. But what is unfortunate in our society today is that men are not leading the way. Men are not leading the way in the household. There are very few godly men in households in America today. Even men that claim to be godly men and claim to go to church do not live in accordance with the Bible. I can think of situations right now of men that claim to be godly men, that put God first, that I'm sure are that say they put God first and that I'm sure are nice guys and stuff, telling their kids to prioritize academics and sports over the kingdom of God, over coming to church. There is a problem in our society where men are not leading their way properly. And it's unfortunate that households do not know the Lord. But can I encourage you that it is God's desire for your entire family to be saved, your entire household to be saved? You may be thinking to yourself, Pastor Joey, I'm the only person in my family. My siblings aren't saved. My parents aren't saved. Or maybe your siblings are saved, but your parents aren't saved. Or maybe one of your parents are saved, but the other one isn't. It is God's desire for your entire family to be saved. And God could use you to bring about that salvation. Amen. So let me ask this question. How does a student who wants to come to church and know more about God navigate a parental situation where they may not feel the same? How do I navigate that? While it's God's desire for your household to be saved, the reality is that many of you are not in that situation. And by the way, this goes to show you that God's will does not always happen. God's will does not always happen. God has a will, but that will does not always happen. God's will is to heal, but healing doesn't always happen. God's will is to save, but people getting saved doesn't always happen. God's will does not always happen. It is our job to bring about the will of God here on earth. Amen. Amen. The first thing we need to understand when we talk about navigating parental conflict and navigating these parental situations is God wants us to honor and obey our parents. God wants us to honor and obey our parents. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1. And I'm going to explain the fullness of this text because a lot of people don't explain it right. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life. People actually miss this a little bit. Let's start here. Honor is never an option. Honor is never an option. I will honor my parents even if I disagree with them. What do you mean? My parents may have a take that I completely disagree with, but I will honor them. And I will not speak to them disrespectfully. Even if my parents say something that I think is completely unbiblical, and which I don't even know if I've ever had that happen because my parents are the pastors of this church and stuff. But even if my parents were to speak something to me that is completely unbiblical, I would not speak to them in dishonor. I would not speak to them and shout at them and yell at them, or at least I would try my very best not to. There have been times where I have gotten upset with my parents and I have spoken in a way that is dishonoring, but that would not be right for me to do that if I get upset with them in that way, if you guys are understanding what I'm saying. Even if I disagree with my parents, I should still be honoring to them in actions. Now, I've heard stories from students where they're like, yeah, Pastor Joey, I kind of lost my temper and I shouted at my parents and stuff. And I understand sometimes, you know, those things happen. It doesn't have to happen, but sometimes those things happen. And in those cases, you know, we can be repentant before the Lord and apologetic to our parents for losing our temper in those moments. I've had situations where I've yelled at my parents and I've had to apologize to them and apologize to the Lord. Even if you feel like you're right and justified, there's not a place for you to yell and dishonor your parents. So, and that's something to understand about navigating a parental conflict. Honor is never an option. Always hold your parents in the highest honor, even if they don't deserve it. Even if their lifestyle doesn't deserve it. Even if they're not really doing the right thing, do your best to be honoring towards your parents. Honoring. Showing them respect. This can be very challenging for some students because I know that there are students that have parents that they've expressed to me have done some very bad things or currently do some very bad things. How am I supposed to honor my parent even if my parent is, you know, getting drunk and getting high all the time and stuff. Well, you may, I'm not saying by honoring them that you have to partake in what they're doing, but I am saying that there comes a place where you have to, as a child, do your best to show them complete respect, where you have to say, okay, I know that they're doing something that I don't, you know, like that they're doing, but I'm not going to shout at them. I'm not going to scream at them. And I'm going to understand that I'm not the spiritual. I'm not the authority figure. I'm not the authority figure. They are. I am under their authority, whether I like it or not. And I'm going to show them respect. It's actually not your place to correct your parents. We'll talk about what you should do when there's a biblical conflict in a second. But it's not your place to correct your parents. It's the same way it's not your place to correct me as your pastor. It's not your place because they are the head of the home. It's your father, your mother, and then the kids. That's the order and flow of things. So it's important to show honor. However, what if my parent wants me to do something that is against God's word? Because the Bible says children obey your parents. So what if my parents tell me, which I have heard this, I've had parents upset with their child because their child does not go out and party and get drunk like normal kids and they come to church. Should I obey my parents, Pastor Joey, and go get drunk? Because that's what my parents are telling me to do. My parents are saying to me, that, and I know that some of you watching might be thinking, this is preposterous. There is no way that a parent would say that. Yes, there is. I promise you, I have heard it. It is very sad. Parents, I just don't understand why they want to be in church all the time. Why can't they do normal kid things? Why can't they get into some trouble sometime? A little trouble never hurt anybody. I've heard a lot of that stuff. I have. What do you do? Do I just go and do it? Because are you telling me I need to obey my parents? And this is where a lot of people miss it. They act as though that parents can, that you have to do whatever your parents say, no matter what they're telling you to do. The assumption in this text is that your parents are godly. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I want to read it from a different translation. Ephesians 6. I'm going to read it from the NLT. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. The assumption is that your parents are godly in this text. This is the same way, it's funny, the same parents that would use this to try to get their kids to do something that is not of God and not right are the same parents that sometimes would say that you don't have to do whatever the government tells you to do. Yet the Bible says in Romans 13, I'll read it right now, because I think it's important to bring this up. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities exist that have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. What is the assumption in both of these texts? The assumption is that your parents and that the governing officials are people that are honoring and that love the Lord and that want to do what is right by the Lord. And so the assumption is since they want to do what is right by the Lord, you should obey what they say. But how many of you guys know that if the government were to tell us to do something that is against the word of God, we would not do it? Even this text says, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. What is right? Well, what is said in the Bible is right. And so we should only do what is right according to the Bible. And so if your parent tells you that you need to go do something that is completely against God's word, you should come and talk to me or go talk to your pastor, because you should not do things that are sinful and that are against God's word, even if your parents tell you to do them. If your parents tell you, hey, why don't you come drink some alcohol with us? I know parents that have said, we want you to come try some alcohol with us. We want you to come drink with us. But you know that that's not right for you to do. Then you do not have to obey that as a child. You don't. However, there are some situations where a child is told that they, you know, that they're not supposed to go to church. We don't want you to go to church anymore. What do you do in that case? Well, here's what you do in both of these cases. Here's what you do in both of these cases. If your parents are Christians, let's start there. If your parents are Christians, you should go to them and you should bring scripture with you and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, I just wanted to come and talk to you about the fact that you want me to do this thing. You don't want me to go to church, or you want me to prioritize my academics or prioritize my sports over God. I want to come. Let's use that example. You want me to skip church and go to practice instead, or skip church and go to my games instead. You want me to take 3 months off youth group so that I can go to practice and stuff. I wanted to come to you completely respecting you guys as my parents. I want to honor you and I want to do what is right by you. And so, but I also want to do what is right by God. So I just wanted to come respectfully to you and I wanted to tell you what I was just feeling. You know, I was reading the scripture that says in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto me. And I just really feel like the right thing for me to do as someone who is a Christian is to put the things of God first, and is to say, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added unto me. And so I really just feel the right thing for me to do in seeking first the kingdom of God is to put church first and to put the house of God before my sport. And if that means that I have less playing time on my sports team, I'm willing to take that consequence. If that means that I have to work harder and practice my sports more to please you guys, then I'm more than willing to be able to deal with that consequence. Is this something that is all right with you? And how do you guys feel about that? That is completely respectful and completely honoring to say that to your parent in that way. To bring it to them, to be respectful about it. If you come like a pompous jerk and say, Mom, Dad, let me teach you something about the scripture. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then everything else will be added unto you. And I'm here to tell you right now that you are a bunch of backslidden Christians that don't. That is dishonoring. You are not rebuking your parents. You have no authority to rebuke your parents. But you can go to your parents in complete humility, present your case before them. And there is nothing wrong with respectfully presenting your case to your parents and telling them that this is how you feel. Now, if your parents turn around and say, no, and maybe your parents will turn around and say this scripture in Ephesians and say, no, you're supposed to obey me and do whatever I tell you to do. Unfortunately, that's not the correct translation of that scripture. But at that point, if your parents are insistent that you're not to come to church and that you have to do that, you can do one of two. You can do this if you'd like to. You can say, you know, how would you feel about us having a sit down with Pastor Joey or Pastor Frank about this situation? You can certainly do that if you come to this church or if you go to a different church. Hey, Mom, Dad, okay, you know, I understand that that's your perspective and I want to honor that and submit to that. How would you guys feel about sitting down with Pastor Joey and Pastor Frank and getting their perspective about the situation? If they say no and they say that they don't want to do that and that they want you to do that, at that point, you are not, God will not hold it against you that you are coming to, that you are going to church or that you are going to baseball practice or football practice or putting your academics first, because you have absolutely no choice in that moment to be able to, do that, because you're under your parents' watch and your parents can keep you home if they want to keep you home. But that is the respectful way that you can approach that situation until you become an adult and you can make your own decisions. And we'll get there when you become an adult. But you have to understand that God's honor and desire, or God's desire, is for you to honor and obey your parents. And the reason why I throw obey in there is because God's desire is for your parents to be godly. God's desire is for your parents to do what is right. And if more parents were like Miss Anna and they said, no, yeah, we want you to go to church over your sports thing, skip your sports game, it would be easy to honor your parents if your parents just did what this book said and said, you know, yeah, we're going to be godly and just do what this book says. And in that case, I'd be teaching you about getting in line with the word of God and submitting to your parents. But unfortunately, we live in a backward society where it's not always like that for people in their home. But that is how you can respectfully bring your case to your parents and say it to them in a way that is honoring. Now, if your parents are not saved, the situation slightly changes, but not entirely. You can go to your parents and say to your parents, you know, Mom, Dad, I just want to talk to you about the fact that I'm a Christian. You know that I'm a Christian. And, you know, I love, you know, church and God and all that type of stuff. And you can say, you know, my faith is very important to me. And part of my faith is that I believe whatever the Bible says is true. And that's a part of my faith. And it's a huge part of my life. And you can then take the same exact approach that I said to take with the Christian parents. You can tell them that scripture, tell them that you want to prioritize the things of God over everything else. And you want to obey the book, but the word of God, but you also want to honor them. And you also want to be respectful to them because that's also a part of being a Christian. And you could even say to them, I'd even love if you came out to church with me so that you could see what it's like for me. I'd love for you to see what it's like for me to be out here on a Wednesday night or out here on a Sunday morning. I'd love for you to come and just check out the place that I go to. Would that be something that you guys would be all right with doing? I would love for you to give it a shot. That's super respectful. Now, there is a chance that in both situations, your parents would start shouting and yelling at you for different cases and reasons. If that begins to happen, although it is hard for you to do this, you need to back down and you need to. And what I mean by back down is do not stand up and challenge them. Do not stand up and start screaming at them. Speak calmly. Say, Mom, Dad, or Mom or Dad, whoever you're talking to, I understand where you're coming from completely. And, you know, I get your point, you know, because the reality is that even though where they're coming from might not be biblical, they may have a line of logic that they're coming from that, again, we don't put logic over the word of God. But you could say, Mom, Dad, I understand where you're coming from. And I don't want to argue with you about this at all. I just wanted to come to you and have an honest conversation with you about this. Just be respectful, stay calm, and don't escalate the situation in those cases. So it is important to have this approach with your parents. You will get further than shouting and yelling at your parents. You'll get much, much further doing things that way. Also, it will help if your parents are against you coming or have some type of issue. It would help if you brought them to speak with me or with Pastor Frank or with whoever your pastor is at whatever church you go to. It would be helpful for you to do something like that. So I would encourage you to approach the situation like that. And here's why. And this is the second thing I was going to say. I kind of already said it. God's desire is actually a peaceful household. God's desire is a peaceful household. God does not want a household that is not peaceful. That is not God's desire. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 18. I'll read it to you. I hope this is helping some of you that are watching this right now. It says, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. God's desire is for his people to live in a peaceful home. God doesn't want you to live in a tumultuous and crazy home. However, the unfortunate reality is that your home may be tumultuous because maybe your parents are not, you know, Christians or not living by the word of God, but the source of disorder in your home should not be coming from you. You should not be the person that is looking to bring discord in your home. You should be looking to bring peace. The Bible says in Matthew 5:9 that blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the earth. You should constantly be looking to make peace in your home. That should be your desire. Your first desire should not be to come against your parents. It should be to try and reconcile and make peace with your parents. And I just told you how you can reconcile and how you can make peace with your parents. Just like that. Mom, Dad, I want to sit down and talk with you about this. Respectful, kind, having a good attitude and a good spirit about yourself. It's very important to be able to do that, guys. If you come at them disrespectfully, you have to understand it's out of line for you to come at your parents disrespectfully and to come at your parents yelling. And your parents, and like, even though your parents, even if they may not be Christians, or if they are Christians, they do know this. They understand that that's out of line for their kid to be yelling at them. They understand that. It's written in the DNA of humanity that that's out of order and out of line. Something feels off about it. And so they're naturally going to get on the defensive. What you want to do is you want to put their guards down in the way that you go and you speak to them and conduct them. In fact, I feel this. If you're an MPAC student and you're watching this podcast and you feel to have a conversation like this with your parents, I would like to sit down with you and try and help you navigate through your specific situation at your household. Because there is a way to approach your parents. There is a way. You can do it in a way that is respectful. Now, if your parents are trying to blatantly get you to do something that is completely sinful, that is like get drunk, you know, do something like that, that is a really tough situation. And that is an extreme case that I hope that very few of you have to deal with. In that case, if that were to happen, you should try to do the same thing because you want to seek for peace. I think it would be a very extreme case where a parent would really force you to do something like that. But if that is the situation, you need to contact your pastor immediately. We'll help you. We need to get you help in that situation if that's what's going on. But God's desire is peace in your household. You should ultimately look for peace in your household. The last thing is, I'm trying to figure out how I want to say this. I'm going to pull up the text first. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. God's first desire is peace. God's first desire is peace, always. God wants peace first and foremost in your household. God wants peace with your friends. God wants you to have that. But here's the unfortunate reality. Because people's hearts are so hard towards God, peace is not always attainable because people are not willing to be peaceful always. And that's quite unfortunate that that's the case. But this is what the Bible says. And do not listen to me read this text and turn off the podcast and think that you're justified to do something that the text is not really saying. Listen to the whole explanation. Matthew 10, verse 34 says, "Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth." Pastor Joey, you just said that Jesus came to bring peace. "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those in his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Pastor Joey, that goes against everything you just said about being peaceful. That even contradicts, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying that he's against peace. In fact, he's called the Prince of Peace. The contextual understanding of this text is that sometimes there will be a conflict where there will be people that will be opposing the things of God. And in that case, we should not be afraid to go and do what God has told us to do. Jesus, when we believe in Christ, sometimes it doesn't result in peace because we believe in a way that is opposite against the world. Your parents may believe in a way that is opposite of what the Bible teaches. You know, your parents may think, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Have a good time, make mistakes, do all that type of stuff. It doesn't matter." But that's not what the Bible teaches. And so you believing that automatically is a conflict in your household. Immediately, your first approach is peace. And as long as you're under your parents' roof, you have a different set of parameters that you're operating in. But there will come a time, and this is where a lot of parents would very much so want to cut my head off for even hearing me say this, but I'm teaching what the Bible teaches right now. In fact, I had a meeting with a parent, and Pastor Frank and I both sat down with the parent, and I don't know if for a fact, but they didn't seem to really care for the fact that we said this, but there will come a point in time where you need to follow what God is telling you to do, regardless of what your parents tell you. And you, people think that they're under the thumb of their parents their entire life, that if your parents, no, you're not allowed to move to Texas, but God's calling me to Texas. No. And you're like, oh, okay. It's like, no, you're not allowed to be a minister because I say so. There does come a point where you have to love God more than you love your parents. Where's that in the Bible? I just read it to you. It says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There comes a point in life where you do need to say, mom, dad, I love you, I honor you, and I respect you. Even if they're not Christians, I love you and I honor you and I respect you. Thank you for everything that you've done in my life. However, God is calling me to go to this school and this place, and that's what I'm going to do. The number one conflict we see in this is with students that feel called to the ministry. Their parents tell them they don't want them to go to Bible school. But the unfortunate thing for those parents that they must realize, and that students, you need to realize, your parents do not dictate where you go to college. Your parents don't dictate what you're to do for the rest of your life. There is a way in which you can have a peaceful discussion with your parents about it. There is a way in which you can be respectful to your parents about it. You can listen to them. You can listen to their wisdom and where they're coming from and respect it. However, if you feel called to go to a school, you got to go there regardless of what your parents tell you to do. And if you don't, you are being disobedient to God, and God will not honor that. God will not honor it. When you're young and you have no choice but to follow what your parents tell you to do. For example, if you wanted to go to a certain high school, but your parents say no, you can pray and ask God to soften your parents' heart towards his will and stuff. You can pray and ask God to work on your parents. You can do that, certainly. And actually, that brings up a good point. If your parents tell you that you're not allowed to come to church, or you're not allowed to prioritize church over the things of this world, you can pray and ask God to begin to work on your parents, and you can look for opportunities to minister to your parents still, certainly. So that's what you can do when you're in that case. If you've already tried the conversations, you've already tried to get them to come and speak to me and Pastor Frank, you could pray for them. And you should pray for them even before you have the conversation, that God would go before you and help you with that conversation, help you say the right things, help your parents' hearts be receptive. You can pray for that. You could pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to work on them. But there does come a point where you got to do what you got to do. And God is not going to say, when you get to heaven and you say, you know, God, I'm really sorry. You know I was called to the ministry, or I know I was called to go to this school, or I know I was called to do this job, and I know that I shouldn't have married this person, and I know that I shouldn't have done that, but my parents told me so, and I was obeying Ephesians 6:1 that says, obey your parents. God's going to say, either you didn't listen to your pastor, or your pastor is a contextual fool, or you're a fool. That's not going to be an acceptable response before God, that for you to just say that. God's going to say, you didn't listen to me. You loved your parents more than you loved me. And that is a problem. So those of you that are in that situation or these situations, I am sorry. I am sorry that this is a conflict in your home. My heart goes out to you. My heart is heavy towards a lot of you guys. I pray for you. I do. I pray for you. Some of you watching this right now, you may be peep students that I'm thinking of right now, that I know you have this conflict, and you've talked to me, and my heart does go out to you. I was in bed last night with my wife, and we were just laying there, and it was 1 a.m, and we had been talking for about 45 minutes about students, about you. Not in a negative way by any means, in a compassionate way, in a caring way. People wonder, you know, does Pastor Joey, you know, really care about me? I hope that you don't wonder that, but maybe you might. Maybe people might wonder, does your pastor care about you? I'm here to tell you that I know for this, that as far as it is for me and the people I pastor, I stay up at night talking with my wife about you and just thinking about you and staying up late. Sometimes I stay up at night just thinking, God, what can I do to help these students? That's how much I love you and care about you. If you're watching this podcast, I want you to share this with a friend that you know needs this. Because there is a friend that, share this with all your friends. Tell them, you need to hear this. You need to hear what Pastor Joey says. I hope that you hear my heart and you hear what the scripture has to say about this. That God is not a God that is looking to bring all these problems into your family and make your family life hard. And God is not trying to make your family life not peaceful. He wants it to be peaceful. However, there is opposition when it comes to when you walk with the Lord, and you must love the Lord first. You must love the Lord first. I hope that this blessed some of you guys. I want to pray for those of you that are watching right now that are having challenging family situations. And I hope that this helps you, but I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray for every single student that's watching this. Lord, I pray that you would help them be able to speak to their parents. Help their parents' hearts be softened, Lord. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to minister to them. Lord, I pray that you would give them all wisdom to be able to speak to their parents. I pray that they would speak in all respect and honor. Father, I pray most importantly that if their parents don't know you, that they would come to know you. And Father, I pray if their parents do know you, but they're not fully submitted to your word, I pray that that would be done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm happy that you joined us for this podcast. As always, if I never like to end a broadcast without giving an opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord. I just do it at different broadcasts as I feel led of the Lord. If you're watching this and you're saying, I do have a lot of, you know, confusion and a lot of discourse in my household, and it's very difficult for me, Pastor Joey, and I'm just watching this. I came across this podcast and I don't know what to do. But all I know is as you were talking, I wasn't right with the Lord. And I know I need to get right with the Lord. I realize that I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today that you can do that, that Jesus Christ did die for you, that he died for your sin, that your rebellion against God, the things that you've done, there's nothing that you've done that the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ cannot forgive. He died for your cross, or died on the cross for your sin. He was buried in the ground and he rose again for you. He wants a relationship with you today. If that's you and you want to give your life to Christ, would you go and repeat this prayer after me? Say this, say, dear Jesus, today I give you my life. I repent of my sin. I put my faith in you. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. You were buried in the ground and you rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a Christian now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. If you just gave your life to Christ, go ahead and just write in the comments, I just got saved. And we'll do our best to follow up with you. You can also follow us on Instagram, Mpact Youth, M-P-A-C-T Youth, and send us a message on Instagram. If you feel to give today to Mpact Youth, maybe as you were talking, you're saying, hey, this is a ministry that I want to give to. I want to give you an opportunity to give as well. You can give in the slides behind. God bless you. I hope that this blessed you. And we'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.